Well, hello, for the opportunity to say hi to you and everybody.
Well, I'm really glad you could call in. You were here on Maui in the summertime, right?
Yes, I had the opportunity. My uncle lives there, and I had a chance to visit him. It was wonderful. I hadn't been there in many, many, many years, and absolutely beautiful. We were in Honolulu for a couple of days. That was nice. So well, you're living in paradise.
I am, but you have this lovely CD, and that's how we met, was through the Grammy community, and it's really a wonderful piece of work. You work very hard on your latest CD, and you're in a couple of categories on the ballot.
Yes, that album, you know how the production process goes. We started it, I think, 4 years ago, and it evolved and changed, and there's a fellow named Richie Merritt who was originally with the Marcells, and he sang on one of those songs with us, a real doo-wop legend, and we had a few other people, and it was exciting for us to have that album come together because, you know, we do the World Nation music group, and we feature teens and kids, and we mentor them, and they end up singing these songs, and when they get really good, we bring them in the studio, and they join us, so we sort of blend them in on the tracks. And proud of them, very proud of them. They're not kids anymore now. They're like 15, 16. And we're excited about the album. We're in traditional pop vocal category. We kind of joke about that.
Well, I thought it'd be in world music or something. You never know where you're going to land up. What's the name of the CD for everyone again?
Okay, it's called Walking in a Memory. And it's celebrating 90 years of doo-wop, pop, soul, and swing. Our oldest song is from the 1920s. It's Ma, He's Making Eyes at Me. Through the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy, Sukiyaki. We also did You Must Have Been a Beautiful Baby. Songs like Silhouettes. Herman's Hermits made that one famous in the 60s. And we also did Life Could Be a Dream and a really great song by Tavares, Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The most recent song we covered, one of our young singers sang, was Love Somebody. That was a Maroon 5 song.
Mm-hmm.
But you know why we ended up in traditional pop is because so much of it is from 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. In fact, many times they'll move us out of that category and just put us in pop. But in our case, we just had too many things that were really in traditional pop. But the reason we were laughing is there are other people in the category, like Bob Dylan, Barry Manilow.
It's always fun.
Hey, guys, how do you like being
in the category? I know.
Frankie Valli, Judy Collins,
It's really funny. So listen, tell me, how did you land up going to Kuwait?
Oh, okay. So Kuwait was a great opportunity. I've been teaching, I sort of have two lives going, although they're intertwined because for years I've done ESL, and you mentioned world music, and I do have songs in different languages I'm working on. But the Kuwait connection came because I had a really good friend, Sandra, and we always tell each other about things going on, opportunities. I do online teaching in China. She said, hey, they need teachers in Kuwait, and I have my bachelor's degree and master's degree and many years in ESL, English to speakers of other languages, which was a great way for me to kind of get connected into world music. I sing in about 12 languages now, I can say. But the Kuwait thing came because Sandra said, you should let them know, send them your resume. And I did, and what they do, most of the teachers, like if anybody's interested in teaching in Kuwait, it's usually a two-year contract, but they hire people like me and Sandra and some of the rest of us to come as what you call short-term teachers. I call myself a traveling teacher. And we're there to begin the year and get things started in case there's a visa issue or a passport issue. Or in this case, we had hurricanes like crazy in the United States, and a couple teachers were trapped in Houston. So it was good that they had this team. I think there were 12 of us, actually. Some of us were from the United States, Canada, South Africa, the UK, and they had us there to be in positions where the teacher was on her way or his way, or they hadn't arrived yet. So it's really a smart, I don't know, plan for the schools to make sure they have coverage and some kind of continuity. Now, once the teacher for me came about 3 weeks after I was there, and then I could then sort of do substituting or whatever. I did come back a week early just because of the Grammy things going on, and I had the opportunity because the teacher was there. But the contracts are usually, for that, we're usually 4, 5, or 6 weeks. And teachers go all over the world. I just did this. I just started with this. I may do something later. But that's how I ended up over there. And I had been there before. My brother taught in Kuwait for 18 years.
18 years? My gosh.
He loved it. He loved
really?
Teaching.
No, but did he speak? He must have spoke the language.
Well, my brother... He's not, I mean, me, I learned, I started learning the language the minute I put my foot on the soil. But my brother wasn't really inclined that way. He wasn't really interested. And he knew phrases, and he was big on buying lots of presents for people. He was excellent at buying and having jewelry made, gold. You know, in Kuwait, they wear 22 and 24 karat gold.
Wow.
They do swear 18 karat gold also. But never anything less than that. And I had a couple things made 18 karat, mainly because it's 18 karat gold stronger mm-hmm. and more durable. But a lot of people over there might not wear anything less than
wow.
21 or 22 karat.
Amazing.
So my brother was over there, and he excels in international teaching, just like his wife, Chris. And they're now in Nigeria.
Oh, so no.
They got invited as a couple, and they've been there like 4 years in Nigeria, but he was also in China. So when he was in Hong Kong, actually, my mother and I and my friend Katia, we got to go visit him, and that gave us a chance to go to mainland China, which was amazing. The Xi'an, where they have the terracotta warriors,
mm-hmm.
that was a highlight for us, and then, of course, Beijing. But my brother, he's my baby brother, although he's twice my size, and he's always doing the international teaching and just loves it and does very well with it, and they are always happy to have him. So I had been there 6 years before, and that trip we made a quick short trip over to Dubai. Have you ever gotten to go to Dubai?
You know, I haven't, although there are more and more places like cruises are leaving from Dubai, and including Dubai, and I've seen a lot of pictures, and I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. I mean, there's a lot of also travel shows that go there, and I just can't believe what I see, you know, with the hotels
yes.
and the skyscrapers.
Dubai has a 7-star hotel. I think it's called Al Arab, and you really can't just go in. We wanted to go in and check it out, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
No, you're not going to go in and check it out. If you want to go in, you can pay, I think it's $100.
Really? Just to go in and look at it? Wow.
Yeah, because it's so expensive. I think it was $7,000 a night.
Wow.
So they don't want folks like us walking around, right. looking at things, looking at people.
Wow.
But they do have that. Oh, and you know, Dubai has the tallest building in the world.
Yes.
Burj Khalifa. And we did go up to the tip top of that. Now it's getting more expensive. You go to a certain level and you pay more to go up. And I didn't go to Dubai this trip, but when I left Kuwait, I did go through Abu Dhabi. And then friends on Facebook said, "Where is Abu Dhabi?"
I know, it's amazing.
And I had to, you know, had I not been there and said, think about it, it is also one of the Emirates.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the United Arab Emirates. It's one of the Emirates, like Dubai. And Dubai is the famous one. But Abu Dhabi is really the capital. And so I knew a family, and I was there for a day and a half, and I got to look around and see Abu Dhabi. Dubai and Abu Dhabi are very modern, much different. Okay, some, like when I've talked to people about Abu Dhabi or Dubai, they would be on one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum would probably be Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm.
and Kuwait might be in the middle.
Well, I have to wonder, in Kuwait, did you have to get a special visa work permit to be there as long as you were and do what you were doing with work?
Right. So the way it works is, first of all, I had to have a passport. Mm-hmm. And I always keep my passport up to date, so that was pretty easy. And for Americans, when you get to Kuwait, you can get your visa at the airport.
Okay.
And that's the same for Abu Dhabi. Some places you go, you cannot. You have to have a visa in advance. But I was able to get the visa at the airport. And, you know, actually I go on a tourist visa, and many of the teachers might arrive on that visa, and then they process you through for a work visa.
Mm-hmm.
But quite frankly, some of us short-timers were not processed through for the work visa mm-hmm. for the time we were there, because it was short time.
Mm-hmm.
But we were still filling in that kind of role for the school.
The school provide you with housing and money for food, et cetera? How did that work?
It's perfect. I mean, I think it's a really wonderful opportunity because, number one, they give you the contract. They say, we'll pay you this for so many days of instruction that you're going to be there. They pay the flight over and back. So my flight went from Tampa to JFK, JFK to Abu Dhabi, Abu Dhabi to Kuwait.
Wow.
And it came back something similar, although I routed it through Chicago so I could see a friend. But they pay that, and I know that's expensive.
That is an expensive trip, yeah.
Yeah, and they also provide housing, apartment. And we were in a brand-new building. It was absolutely beautiful, just beautiful. And other teachers who were short-term teachers were there. Each apartment had two bedrooms, so I shared with another teacher who was there as a short-term teacher who's from Idaho. And other people in our building were from Australia,
wow,
UK, and a lot of administrators were in that building too. And every morning they would pick us up on a bus and take mm-hmm. us to our campus. So I have certifications in the state of Florida in about 5 different areas, so I didn't know where I'd be placed. And so I could be placed as an English teacher in high school, history teacher in high school. I'm certified to teach elementary, K-6, so I could work with little kids in the classroom. I'm also certified in music, mm-hmm. and ESL is English to Speakers of Other Languages, and they do have those classes, but all the kids that I met were fluent in English, and
wow.
if they did have an ESL class, it was pretty advanced, and they placed me in high school, a girl's high school, all girls, and I taught world history, which I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And
now you were teaching you these are mostly all Muslim.
Yes, everybody is Muslim in the school. It's a traditional Muslim school, and well, one thing about Kuwait is when I arrived, let's see, it would be around September 5th, I think it was. When I got there, I thought, oh, my gosh, it's so hot here.
Yeah.
And I live in Florida, and it's hot here,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, really humid. But it was 110 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it. And he said, oh, it's cooled down. I said, what do you mean it's cooled down? It had been 140 degrees.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, gosh, I guess I'm lucky. But I feel like I can hardly breathe, you know.
I'm very curious about what the women, I mean, because, you know, there's lots of restrictions. Thank God they just
yes.
raised the restriction about, about driving, because about the women driving, they were not allowed to drive, but I heard that was just changed. But
this is a very good point, because there's many things that we have and we take for granted. But in Saudi Arabia, it was recently changed so that women could drive. And Kuwait women can drive in Kuwait,
uh-huh.
and they can vote in Kuwait.
Oh,
I don't
good.
Know about voting in other countries. Now, the United Arab Emirates, which would be Dubai, Abu Dhabi, I should check on that. I'm really not sure about the facts, but they seem much more westernized.
Mm-hmm.
In Kuwait, almost most women were wearing the chador or abaya, the black covering,
mm-hmm.
Definitely the head covering. In my school, high school girls, 10th and 11th grade, now they did not wear those clothes because it was all girls.
Aha, uh-huh, okay.
Most did not have a head covering only because they knew it was all girls.
Uh-huh.
It was female teachers and female students and no males whatsoever. So they could be in, they wore school uniforms, but they could have their head uncovered and such in that environment. And it, as a traditional Muslim school, you know, I thought when I left, my friend Sandra said, oh, bring your guitar.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you can play some songs for them or, you know, anything. And I said, okay, and I brought it. But I couldn't play it, and I could not do music. And I was kind of stunned, but the principal, who was wonderful, I said, hey, I brought my guitar, and when we talk about history, I could talk about the 60s and do a Pete Seeger song, something, you know, about anything to connect it to history or just talk, or even, I even thought about singing to them songs in different languages, since I sing about 12 languages. And she looked at me and she said, Cynthia, I'm so sorry, you can't do any music. You can't bring the guitar. I said, I thought she was joking almost. And I was like, oh, okay. And she said, this is a traditional Muslim school. And I know a lot of the kids listen to music. And they were everybody from Beyonce to Harry Styles, to, you know, just everybody. The kids knew music, but the parents are sending them to a school that's a traditional Muslim school, and no, music is not taught there.
Is it just not taught because they're women, or is it just not taught to
either? No, it's not taught because it's part of the tradition of the Islam faith.
Hmm.
Very conservative Muslims would not perform music, listen to music, or have music in their homes. Very traditional.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the parents who sent the daughters to the school chose this school because it was a traditional Muslim school. And maybe some of them wanted it because it's all female.
Mm-hmm.
And they would not expect in a traditional Muslim school to have music taught or to have anything... one, just to give you an idea, one day I had my computer and I thought, well, they're working, maybe they're taking this quiz, maybe I could put on a little bit of, you know, Pachibel's Canon, something, harp, soft. I had it on very soft, and I saw a couple of the girls smiling, and then one of the girls put her hands over her ears.
Wow.
And I went to her, I said, is it okay? She said, no. I said, I am so sorry. And so then I turned it off, and that's when I talked to the principal, and I had already sang to them in Japanese, I think, and they were so excited, they loved it, and the principal said, you just can't, and I said, okay.
That's a tough one.
I got it now.
You know, and I know we love music. Music is my life so much, and that is just hard to imagine a world without music like that, and yet I couldn't help but think of Cat Stevens, and here he was, and he is a musician who's Muslim, and how did that fit in? How did he work that out? I was like, but I don't know. How does that work? But it is interesting. And how in the world did you ever connect with this group? And I'm sure other teachers out there may be thinking, gosh, this might be interesting, or maybe it might be dangerous, but it might be interesting. And how do they find out if they qualify or they can sign up for being a teacher in other countries?
Okay, so the main thing is... one thing is you have to have a certification that's current. And
I'll be right with you.
In my case, in Sandra's case, we have certifications in 3 or 4 different areas, so that's helpful to them. You also have to be willing to go for the period of time that the teaching is happening. There's a couple of organizations. One's called Teachers on the Move. Someone said another one, Smart Teachers. I can even get you some names of others.
Well, I think it's a fascinating way for teachers to learn and also for other students to learn in other countries about us and to reach out. I think travel is wonderful for world peace and really is helpful. And I have another guest on the line, Cynthia, but I'm really glad you reached out and told us your story about teaching in Kuwait and your adventures with that. And I just think it sounds like a wonderful thing that other people may want to explore.
Yes, yes. And if you go to Kuwait, go to breakfast at Kuwait Towers. That's one of my highlights. It's wonderful.
That's
you go to Kuwait Towers, you have your breakfast, you look out over the city, a huge international buffet, really amazing sights and things to see. The history of Kuwait is beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, and have a good rest of your day, and good luck on your music.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Okay.
We appreciate it.
Okay.
Mahalo.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, I've got Sue on the line. Hi, Sue. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing, Cindy?
Oh, great. You got a good connection. My, sounds